My name is Andrea Bumstead, and I am a member at Restore Temecula. If you are new, we want to welcome you and thank you for tuning in. We believe the church is not an event, but a family that you belong to. So we would love the opportunity to connect with you. If you want to learn more about our church or if we can help in any way, please visit our website at www.restoretemecula.com and click on Contact. We also have a mobile app with resources, including our Sunday messages, information about upcoming events, and other ways to connect. You can download our app on the Apple or Android App Store. With all of that said, we hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Now, as you can probably tell, and you already knew this, but summer's a slower season for us, and it's an intentionally slower season. Many of you carry a lot of weight, a lot of responsibilities. There's just a lot that our society places on you, some of it good, some of it not so good. But we've gotten in, I believe, the healthy biblical pattern of kind of slowing down and resting over the summertime, okay? It's a time for families to take vacation, create memories together. It's a time for refreshment, because when the fall kicks in, God has a way of leading us into more and more ways to pursue his kingdom coming on the earth in intentional ways. And so what we're doing this summer is we're spending the summer in the Psalms. And the point of this is really to just kind of get a fresh infusion of truth, all right? To fill our hearts with the truth of who God is, what that means for us. And the Psalms have a beautiful way of, like, it's poetry. They're songs. There's a way of kind of bypassing some of the barricades in our mind and making the truth of God's word kind of, I don't know, it makes its way to our heart in a unique way. The Psalms are a gift in that way. And the heart behind the Psalms is really to kind of increase in the knowledge of God. Not just knowledge in terms of information, but knowledge experientially. The Bible talks about knowing him in a deep, intimate way. And that's what we're kind of seeking to do this summer through the Psalms. Now, I want to ask you a question as I get started. Have you ever been to an event where there was like a red carpet? Have you ever been to a red carpet event? If you've ever been to a red carpet event, they're fine. In my opinion, they tend to be really superficial. Not that there's anything wrong with taking photos and walking on the red carpet and do all those things, but when I was in my early 20s, I spent some time in LA and I went to a handful of these like Hollywood red carpet parties, okay? I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that because they're really wild and they're really bizarre, okay? One of the bizarre things is that depending on, I've only done this a couple of times, but when you arrive at some of these parties, there's like the red carpet and they have, maybe you've seen it, they have like that backdrop with whoever's kind of putting on the event or whatever product they're promoting at the event or whatever movie premiere is happening or those kinds of things. And that's kind of in this backdrop. And when you enter into the party, you have to walk down this red carpet. And oftentimes, depending on your level of profile, there's people who are taking photos with the backdrop of whatever they're promoting for the party and all the things that's going down. It's really weird and it's really kind of superficial. And if you've ever kind of followed that world, there's a question, sometimes they'll even, if you're really, you know, you're a high profile person, they'll be like, you know, Jules, come here. Like, you know, you're, what? Bingo, that's the question. Did you hear what he said? Every time. No, it's, who are you wearing? Boom. Get it, girl. Preach. No, but you know what I'm saying, right? You've heard this phrase, who are you wearing, right? They're asking, what designer clothed you? And if you're an important person, that really matters because you carry a lot of influence, right? And, you know, they'll say the fancy designers. Give me some fancy designers. Valentino. Louis Vuitton. Versace. All these Italian, right? Armani. Chanel. All these, like, important, expensive, fancy designers are typically what people will say. And it's not just the ladies in the dresses, it's the men in their suits and different outfits, right? And And like I said, I've seen this in person a few times. And if you've ever seen it on TV, it looks glamorous and it, you know, kind of is whatever. But in person, it's just weird. It's kind of bizarre. And there was one specific event that I attended where the timing of my arrival was not appropriate for the status of my person. And so I'm waiting to like go into this place and I'm like, and I already feel totally out of place. I'm like, I don't belong here, but whatever. And they're doing the whole thing. It's happening. It's going down. They're asking people the thing. And I'm standing there waiting for there's always this person with like a radio kind of coordinating the party. And I'm waiting for her to like, I have to get a green light to enter into the party. And as I'm waiting, I'm going, oh, please don't let them ask me who I'm wearing. Because what am I going to say? I'm going to be like, you know, Hanes. 100% cotton, you know? Or like Levi Strauss. You ever heard of him? Thankfully, I'm a nobody, so they just kind of, I just walk past. No one's like shooting my photo. I'm just going into the party, right? But it was one of those things where like, I'm so out of my league in those kind of environments. Like, one of the reasons is because I wore very different designers than 99% of that room, you know? But one of the things, only being there a handful of times, one of the things I learned about in those environments is that in those spaces, the tag you wear matters. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the tag that you're wearing because it matters. You see, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, triune, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, God, he's the ultimate designer, isn't he? He's the ultimate designer, and he desires to clothe his people. And hear me, I know this is kind of hokey, but he desires to clothe you. So go ahead and grab your Bibles. We're going to talk about it. Grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Psalm 18 this morning. Psalm 18. If you don't have a Bible with you, no sweat. The team's going to throw the words up on the screen for you. I'll be in the Christian Standard Bible translation. It's one of, if not my favorite translation. I typically will preach out of the CSB. Before we jump into this, I just want you to know my prayer for us this morning is by the end of our time that you and I will be able to honestly answer that red carpet question. Not theoretically, not idealistically, but we'll be able to honestly answer that red carpet question, who are you wearing? All right? Because here's the thing, the reality of the answer to that question might be different than what you think right now. All right? So Psalm chapter 18, that's not a chapter, Psalm 18. Before I read this, I want to pray and invite God's Spirit to illuminate his word for us. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we just want to slow down for a moment and recognize that like this is your word. And it's powerful. And the depth of its beauty and meaning is like very significant. And so I ask that you'd maybe humble us a little bit for the purposes of developing us and strengthening us and helping us to see the beauty and glory of Jesus more. Help me to honor everybody in the room. Help me not to get in the way of anything that you want to do and say. You're trustworthy, Father. I love you. In your name, Jesus, amen. Okay, one of the things quickly, Psalm 18, it's a longer psalm. Guys, there's 50 verses. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to cover verses 1 through 6, and then I'm going to skip into verses 28 through 39, okay? Let's jump in. Psalm 18, starting in verse 1. I love the way it starts. I love you, Lord, my what?
Strength.
We're going to come back to that. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock where I seek refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. The ropes of death were wrapped around me. The torrents of destruction terrified me. The ropes of Sheol, Sheol is the place of death. The ropes of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. That's pretty intense, okay? I called to the Lord in my distress, and I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Okay, down to verse 28. Lord, you light my lamp. My God illuminates my darkness. With you, I can attack a barricade. And with my God, I can leap over a wall. Okay, so in other words, he's saying, with my God, in my relationship to him, and my closeness to him, my union with him, nothing stands in my way that I can't overcome. It doesn't mean we don't face opposition. Good God, do we face opposition. But he's saying, nothing can stand in my way that I can't overcome. Why? Because God's my strength. Verse 30, God, his way is perfect. Now, did you notice it doesn't say Tom's way? What? No, his way, right? His way is perfect. Man, that's a whole preach right there. The word of the Lord is pure. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. Some of you need like a shield in this season of life that you're in. You need some defense, some safety. Verse 31, for who is God besides the Lord? He's like, who is the real Lord of all besides Yahweh, right? And who is a rock? Only our God. Verse 32, God, he clothes me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me securely on the heights. He trains my hands for war. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, freedom. That's what salvation is. Your right hand upholds me, and your humility exalts me. Do you know what it means that God's humility exalts a person? Some translations say, your help has made me great. Verse 36, you make a spacious place beneath me for my steps, and my ankles do not give way. I pursue my enemies and overtake them. I do not turn back until they are wiped out. I crush them and they cannot get up. They fall beneath my feet. Okay, so really quickly, he's describing victory over the opposition. He's describing victory over wickedness, okay? Now we know the battle we wage is not against flesh and blood primarily. It's against the powers and principalities of evil and darkness in this whole created order. And the psalmist here is describing that there's this victory over that opposition, over that weakness. Now, yeah, again, a whole nother sermon. Our final verse, you have clothed me with strength for battle. You subdue my adversaries beneath me. Okay, there's so much here. All right, I'm not going to have enough time to even go through all this, but I want to focus in on something because I think God's highlighting it for not just me, but us in this season. Now, we talked about, you know, clothing, the tag you wear, right? It references that God clothed me twice in verse 32 and in verse 39, okay? Now, this imagery of God clothing a person, it's all throughout the scriptures. It's not just here, okay? It's all over the place. And this concept is really important, guys. It's really important. If you're taking notes, here's my first point for you this morning. My first point for you is this. Clothes are connected to identity. Clothes are connected to identity, okay? I want to play a game with you. Some of you, I can see some yawns. I get it. Wake up and play a game with me, okay? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to describe the outfit, and you see if you can identify the identity of that person. Okay? And not necessarily the specific identity like Ebony or no, but you'll get the gist of it, okay? I'm gonna describe the outfit, you describe the identity, okay? Now you see someone wearing a wetsuit near the ocean. Surfer. Wow, you guys are really good at this. Okay. Next one for you. Ready? Here we go. Hard hat, jeans, and work boots. Okay, wow. Construction worker, absolutely. Okay, how about this one? A man or a woman, and they're like decked out head to toe in Lululemon. They work out, don't they? They're serious about going to the gym, or at least they want you to believe they're serious about going to the gym. They want to look cute at the same time, right? The whole thing. All right, here's another one for you. A woman dressed in a power suit. Business all day. Yeah, she's a boss lady, man. She's like, she's running her company. She's doing her thing. Absolutely. It's beautiful. How about this one? One more for you. A man in coveralls. Mechanic. Yes, absolutely. Could be a farmer too. Definitely some form of manual labor, right? He's getting dirty. You guys are really good at that. That's interesting. You were able to clearly identify someone's identity based on the clothes that they wear. You ever shop at Trader Joe's? I love me some Trader Joe's, okay? But here's the thing about Trader Joe's. If you've ever worked at Trader Joe's or you currently work at Trader Joe's, not throwing shade at you, there's just sometimes when I'm in the checkout stand, I don't want to answer 20 questions. But for real, I was like, this has happened to me, I'm not exaggerating, at least 3 times. I'm in the checkout line of Trader Joe's, and a wonderfully kind person asks me a question, and the question is this: so, are you a fireman? Why are you guys laughing? There's a reason that you're laughing. There's a reason that you're laughing, and it's because of this thing on my face, okay? There's no other reason that they would ask me if I'm a fireman. I don't have Joel's build. Like, there's the only reason is because of the mustache on my face, and it's happened multiple times at the same Trader Joe's, different employees. Are you a fireman? And my answer is no, but I'm a spiritual fireman. I run into spiritual burning buildings. When there's a spiritual emergency, I get the call. Thank you for asking. I know it has nothing to do with my mustache. It has everything to do with my muscles. That's fine. No, but like, all kidding aside, when they saw my mustache, they asked if I was a fireman. Why? Because what a person wears is associated with who they are. There's a reason why you were really good at identifying the identity of those people just based on their outfits. Why? Clothes are connected to identity. They're connected to who you are. When I was in high school, there was this like massive resurgence, not even resurgence, that skateboarding was like this big fad. The X Games were just starting to kind of get off the ground, and it was like this big thing, and all the skateboard culture and fashion especially was kind of like a big thing in some of the schools that I went to. Anybody else experience that if you're in the same kind of era as me? If you grew up in the same era as me in the skate culture thing, do you remember what they called kids who wore all the skateboard fashion but they actually didn't skate? Do you remember what they called them? Posers, yes. Wow, you guys don't even need me this morning. You have all the right answers. This is great. But yes, absolutely, I love that you're participating. They called people posers. You wore all the clothes, but you didn't actually do the deed. You didn't skate. Here's the thing. Clothes, they're not just connected to who you are. Clothes are connected to who you want to be. So can we just pause for a moment on a hot summer morning in this glorious AC, can we just pause for a moment for you to honestly and humbly examine your life? Who do you want to be? Not who do others want you to be. Who do you want to be? There's two sides to this though. There's the character side, right? The integrity piece, like the morality piece, of course, that's part of it. But there's also that practical side of who you are, the practical side of your identity, the practical side of who you want to be, like the kind of lifestyle that you want to live. Right? There's the kind of people that you want to associate with. There's what you spend your time and maybe even more importantly, your energy on. Because hear me, there's both the character side and the practical side, and both of those make up an important part of your identity, an important part of who you are as a person. When I was growing up, there was really kind of, I went through two different phases of seeking out an identity for myself. There's really two main identities that I pursued growing up. And if you've heard my story, you've heard me say this before, so this will be annoying to you, but I'm going to say it anyway because some people don't know. But in my earliest years, I grew up and I was always the tallest kid in my class, which was kind of bizarre because I was always the youngest kid in my class too. So I was young for my grade, but I was tall and big for my grade. So I grew up tallest kid in my class, and I learned really, really quickly that gave me an advantage when it came to sports. And it was an advantage that I certainly exploited, okay? And the reason I exploited it was because I was like, oh man, I can excel in, it was mostly basketball. I loved basketball. I lived for it. It was genuinely my life. And I learned really quickly that it was convenient because people approved of it. It's, you know, athletics is something our culture really rallies around and really supports and really values highly. And so I learned really quickly, I could get the acceptance and approval of my peers because of this advantage that I have in sports. So I started to develop a passion for it. And I really I threw myself out and it was beautiful and it was good. And the clothes that I wore, if you will, spiritually, figuratively, and literally had to do with my identity as a basketball player. Then I get into high school. And I was good. I was good. I get into high school and I just kind of stopped growing. Which, how many of you know that's really inconvenient for basketball? So all my peers are getting bigger and faster and stronger. I remember one kid grew 6 inches over the summer. And before summer, I was like, I could ball this guy up, no problem. End of summer, his skills don't improve, but he can hold the ball higher than I can jump. And I'm like, I'm in trouble. But it wasn't just like, oh man, I'm a bummer. It was like my world went from like, oh my gosh, I've built my life around this. I was impressive. So much so that people approved of it. And now I'm not as impressive as I once was. I gotta change my clothes and I gotta change them fast. So I did. Many of you know my dad, he's a gifted musician. He kind of raised us around music, and I loved music, and I loved songwriting, and I played a little bit of guitar and stuff. But I went, okay, hey, the clothes that I'm wearing, the clothes that I've picked out for myself, they're not working anymore. I'm not as impressive as I once was. I'm not getting the approval that I'm craving as I once did. I need to find another outfit that I can put on that will get me that approval from people. I'll just be a musician. I like music. I'll be a musician, right? Chicks dig it. Guys think it's cool. That will work perfectly. So that's what I did. Didn't stop playing sports, still loved sports, still did it, but I wasn't all in over there anymore. I was like, now I'm the musician that happens to play sports and is on the team. And it worked. It was good, you know, the whole thing. But those were kind of the two identities I pursued. And I changed my clothes, if you will, in between them. I spent the first 20 years of my life dressing myself, you could say. Clothing myself in an identity that I designed. And then God interrupted it. He interrupted it in the most spectacular, loving, glorious, and kind of painful way. My heart heard the good news of Jesus. And when I say my heart heard it, is that my ears and my head had heard it before. How many of you know what I mean when I say my heart heard it? Oh my God, it's real. It's not just for Brad, it's for me. It's not just for Mark or Cassie, it's for me. Like, my heart heard the gospel. And specifically, it was personal. It was like, oh my gosh, God is offering me this outfit. He's offering me these clothes to wear. He's offering me this identity that I don't have to earn, but one that is earned and offered to me freely as a gift, as a gracious act of love. And I'm the guy who's been working my tail off trying to secure an identity for myself that would get the approval of the people around me. And here comes Jesus going, I have this identity for you that is far superior to any identity that you could design for yourself, that you don't have to earn, that I'm earning for you and I'm offering to you freely as a gift. And it's not for approval, it's coming from already being fully approved of and loved. You with me? Changed everything. It radically changed everything. And not like overnight, it was a process, don't get me wrong. But it significantly interrupted my plans. God has a way of doing that. It was very, very personal for me. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you're in a season where you're dressing yourself. Like where you're the designer, you know? I remember when I first when I first got going in like full-time vocational ministry, one of the things about being a pastor is you have to wear a suit sometimes. And I remember the first suit I got was just kind of one of those off-the-rack suits. You know, when I say off-the-rack, do you guys know what I'm talking about? Off-the-rack is just kind of like, whether it's a suit or a dress, it's a garment that is kind of just generally sized. So you have general sizes and it's kind of like, here's what you get. And for a guy like me, I have a longer torso and I'm kind of lean. So if I get something that usually would fit my torso, it'd be too big and it would just be funky, right? So the general sizes, they didn't really fit me all that great, but I got a suit that was off the rack and it wasn't that flattering. It wasn't that good. And I remember my dad goes, hey, Tom. He goes, you're a pastor now. He goes, you're gonna be doing more funerals. You're gonna be doing more weddings. He goes, you need to buy a suit, man. He goes, I know you don't want to spend the money, but you need to buy a proper suit. You need to buy a suit that's tailored for your body. And I remember it was right at the time when they started doing these online suit things where you could like send in your measurements. And they would basically tailor it somewhere else in the world and then send it to you, you know? So I did that and I put on the suit. I'm like, oh, wow, this is the way a suit's supposed to fit. Ladies in the room, have you ever had like a dress kind of made to fit you, tailored to fit you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, wow, this is actually made for my body. It's a personal thing, right? Friends, I just need you to know something. God's not like an off-the-rack designer. He's a bespoke designer. Bespoke means like custom tailored to you. His design is not the same for everybody. The clothes that he picks out, if you will, it's not uniform. There are similarities, absolutely, but it's intensely personal. He's a father. It's custom tailored to you. And hear me, please, I already said this, but he desires to clothe you in a way that fits you like a glove. And if I'm honest, I'm still learning about this, man. I've been following Jesus for, man, close to a little over 20 years. And I'm still learning what it means to let God dress me. Man, I know that sounds silly, but it's true. Like, if someone would have told me when I was 17, here's what the next 20, 25 years is going to look like in your life, I would have laughed in their face. I never saw it coming. It wasn't part of my plan to be vocationally in ministry. It wasn't part of my plan to be a pastor. It wasn't part of my plan to be on like a journey of planting churches and doing these things. And I'm not saying that like, look at how awesome. It wasn't even in my mind. None of those things factored into my plans. The clothes that I designed for me to wear were very, very different. Now, it's interesting because this psalm that we're reading, Psalm 18, anybody know who wrote it? Yeah, King David. King David, he wrote this psalm, and hear me, he has a very interesting story. How many of you know it wasn't David's plan to wear a crown? Okay, listen, if you know David's story, David is a shepherd from Bethlehem. Okay, so think low-class job from a really small low-class town, all right? He didn't grow up aspiring to be the king of Israel, okay? That's not where his mind goes. And not only that, he's the youngest of 8 sons, all right? He's about the last person you'd expect to be king, okay? It wasn't David's plan to wear a crown. And not only that, it wasn't David's plan to wear the suffering that came along with wearing that crown. All right? If you guys have ever studied David's story, if you're familiar with it, you know the dude suffered. Okay? He blew it in some major ways too, but he had a lot of suffering that was directly associated to the clothes, the crown that God designed for him to wear. Saul spent an entire series in a whole portion of the scriptures trying to kill him. There's so many different things. I don't have time to get into it. But he references some of the suffering that he experiences that's directly associated with the clothes or the crown that God's called him to wear. Look back at verse 4 and 5. It says this, "The ropes of death were wrapped around me. The torrents of destruction terrified me." That's not like, "I stubbed my toe today and there's a lingering pain." It's like intense. It's not comfortable. It's hard. It's painful. There's a whole slew of temptations to be anxious and afraid and worried and upset and all the things. It's suffering. Verse 5, "The ropes of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me." Death, destruction, terror. Okay? All related to his identity as the king. So hear me, David wearing the crown, it involved glory, absolutely. It involved power, totally. It involved wealth, it involved responsibility, but it also included suffering. And yet, David wore what God designed. Friend, do you know what God's designed for you to wear? Do you know what God has designed you to wear? Both the glory of it and the suffering of it. Do you know that the custom tailored identity that he has for you that no one else can play? And if you do, here's the kicker. If you do know, are you avoiding it? Real talk with you. Here's one of the issues with me. I don't always agree with what he wants me to wear. I aim to obey. Jesus is worthy of my obedience. But I'd be lying to you if there wasn't temptations throughout my life where I don't agree with what he wants me to wear. In other words, there are times when I don't want to wear what God's designed for me to wear. Or I'm fine with some of it, but not all of it. Have you ever tried to dress an infant baby? Like, dude, diaper goes on fine sometimes. I remember when my girls were young. There was a handful of times I can remember putting on the diaper and they're smiling at me, it's fine. Putting on the pants and the socks, they're cool. And then I go for the shirt and it's that whole, no, the head goes back and they're just like, don't put the shirt on me. I'm fine with the pants. I don't want the shirt. And I'm like, that's me. I'm cool with this part, God. This part of what you want me to wear is great. This is awesome. People like it. But that part, I don't want to wear that. And how many of you know, like, kids are young. Like, when my kids were, they didn't have a choice of what they were going to wear. Mom and dad picked the, parents picked the clothes, put them on the baby wears them, right? But how many of you know, as a child grows, what happens? They ultimately choose what they put on. How many of you know the same thing happens spiritually? So listen to me. Every day of your life, every day of my life, guys, each of us, we have a choice every day. Will we wear what God has designed for us? Or will we wear something else? Red carpet question coming at you. Who are you wearing? Not the person sitting next to you. Who are you wearing today? Some of you, you're wearing things that God didn't design. Some of you, right now, you're in the season of life, you're wearing pride. And pride says, I'm a better designer than my maker. I know my measurements better. I know what I look better in. I know better. I know what's best for me. Some of you are wearing pride. Some of you are wearing shame. Condemnation even. Things that God didn't design for you to wear. Shame says, I'm just too far gone. I'm too messed up. Shame says stuff like this. Shame says, if these people knew that about me, I'd be rejected so fast. If they knew this about me, I gotta clothe myself. I gotta hide. Shame says this, I'll never be enough. Some of you, people close to you in your life have said things over you and about you that you're still carrying, and you come to the conclusion, I'm just not gonna be enough. Or how about this one? Like, you just don't matter. Or you don't matter as much as that person does. Things that God didn't design for you to wear. All of those things that I share with you, the pride side and the shame side, listen, none of that stuff agrees with the gospel of Jesus. None of it agrees with the gospel of Jesus, right? The gospel of Jesus says you and I make a really terrible Lord. Okay? The good news starts with bad news. And the bad news is you and I make terrible lords. We make terrible kings, okay? When we call the shots, when we do the designing, it doesn't go so well. How do we know? Because it ultimately hurts ourselves and hurts the people around us, okay? He who is without sin, this talk's not for you. By all means, like, if you want to check out, that's cool. But for those of us in the room that actually struggle with being selfish sometimes, thinking that we know best and having that impact of people in our lives, this is what I'm talking about. It's bad news. We make crummy kings. We make crummy lords. But the good news is, the good news is that God loves you and gave himself for you. Like, it wasn't an accident. He loves you and he gave himself for you. Like, he desires to rescue you from your own lordship. That's really good news, friends. And here's what's beautiful about it. He didn't just like have this desire. It cost him something. His desire for you and I to be rescued from our own lordship cost him his body and his blood. It cost him dearly. And that means that you're worth his body and his blood. When I say you're worth his body, what I mean is God put on flesh, right? To live the perfect life, the flawless life, the sinless life, the blameless life, so that he could credit that resume, that report card to you freely as a gift if you'll receive it. You're worth his body. You're worth You're worth his literal life. And you're worth his literal death. To pay the penalty of every single wrong choice, selfish choice, sin, way that you've resisted and rejected God, way that you've been unloving to the people God loves, all of that. You were worth it in order for him to pay that price. How do we know? It's finished, Jesus said. He paid it all. Some of you, this week you blew it. You know you blew it. You're battling a little bit of shame. Can I just remind you, Jesus paid it all. Like, you're really forgiven. Spectacularly forgiven. Gloriously, scandalously forgiven. Will you wear that? And not only that, but the gospel says that he chose you. He chose you. Like, can you just sit with that one for a second? He chose you to adopt you as his beloved child. Good fathers don't give up on kids. And he's the best father, isn't he? It means he doesn't give up on you. He chose you. And not only that, he predestined you for a good and meaningful and unique purpose. An identity custom tailored, designed specifically for you. My second point, and I'm almost done, is this. If God didn't design it, don't put it on. If God didn't design it, don't put it on. Because friends, listen to me. If you wear things that God didn't design, you will live a counterfeit version of yourself. That's like not the real you. And hear me, like, God created you with dignity. Not to get all millennial on you, but like, you really are unique. There's nobody like you in the whole world. The pain, it's real. But please hear me. There really is. God created you with dignity. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you. A unique purpose in his kingdom. So, the question of the hour, who are you wearing? Who are you wearing? Now, as I wrap up, I'm almost done. Do you know what happens when you allow God to clothe you? We saw it in the passage. Strength happens. Look back at verse 32 and verse 39. God, he clothes me with strength and makes my way perfect. Verse 39, you have clothed me with strength for battle. You subdue my adversaries beneath me. My final point for you, wearing what God designs results in strength. Wearing what God designs results in strength. Okay, listen, some of you, no doubt you're weary. You're in a season, you're feeling weary. Some of you are overburdened in this season. Some of you are anxious in this season. And hear me, the root of the issue is what you're wearing. What you're wearing is a causal agent to feeling some of these things. Some of you are wearing things that God didn't design. In the name of Jesus, please take it off. Walk in your salvation, your freedom. Take it off. If God didn't design it, don't put it on. Take it off. Others of you, you're in a season where you're genuinely missing out. You're missing out on the life that God designed for you. And or you're missing out on the strength required to live it out. Like, you know what it is, but you're like, gosh, I'm weary. I'm not fully walking into it. I don't feel like I have the necessary strength for it, right? In the name of Jesus, put it on. What God has designed for you to wear, put it on. Why? Because the result's going to be the strength that you need. So may I encourage you this morning? Wearing what God designs results in the strength required to face anything that life throws at you. And I mean anything. Bless you. All right. Band, would you come up? I'm going to close. So God challenged me this week. He challenged me in a really personal way. And I don't believe it's a challenge just for me. I believe it's a challenge for all of us. I want to challenge you with the same thing that God challenged me with. This is I'm praying, and man, oh man, I really believe that God speaks to his children. Jesus taught it. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." That means we can discern whether or not it's our Heavenly Father speaking directly to our heart. And I'm in prayer, and I feel like God says to me through his Spirit, get dressed every morning. That sounds really funky because it implies that I'm undressed. Get dressed every morning. In other words, like, put on what he alone has designed for me to wear. Get dressed. Like, get dressed in forgiveness. Every day, before you leave the house. In the same way, not to be weird, but in the same way, you're not leaving the house without the proper clothes, right? That'd be really kind of shocking and embarrassing, maybe. Or even dangerous. Like, you don't wear sandals to the snow, right? It's a good way to get hypothermia and lose your toes. Before you leave the house, get dressed. Get dressed in forgiveness. Get dressed in the righteousness of Christ. His perfect record. I get to wear that, man. You get to wear that. And there's implications for that. It means God is pleased with you in the same way that he's pleased with his son, Jesus. He fully approves of you. That means you don't have to work your tail off to dress yourself in a way that's impressive to people around you. That's freedom. Get dressed. Put on God's purpose for your life. The way I do that is I use my Eat and Speak journal. If you don't have an Eat and Speak journal, would love to give you one. It's just a way to read the scriptures, to read the Bible every day in order to encounter him. I'm all about studying the Bible. I think it's vital for the life of a Christian. But the Bible doesn't exist just so that we would study it. The Bible exists so that we would encounter the man behind the pages. His name is Jesus. I do that. I get dressed in the morning. Because guys, even the hard stuff of life, it's ultimately for good. It's ultimately for good. How do we know? Right? There's the famous passage in Romans chapter 8. Everything that God designs ultimately works for good. Back to the red carpet. Have you ever seen, this is so superficial, but have you ever seen commentators post like the red carpet thing, whether it's the Oscars or some other like thing, and there's the whole who wore it best thing? Have you seen, the ladies are like, yeah, the guys are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It's like, who wore it best? So two different people wearing the same thing, and they'll literally spend time debating on who wore it best. King David wore what God designed, and for him that meant wearing a crown, didn't it? But how many of you know King David wasn't the only one who God designed a crown for? See, God the Father designed a crown for God the Son. It was a crown of thorns. Jesus wore it. He wore it. A life of suffering. A life of glory. A life of sacrifice. A life of betrayal. Ultimately, a life of like costly love, man. And he wore it, didn't he? even the hard stuff that God designs for us to wear is ultimately for good. And Jesus is proof. So hear me. When you allow God to clothe you, friend, the result is supernatural strength to face whatever life throws at you. Culture wants to lie to you. Culture wants you more concerned with the red carpet. But hear me, the strongest, most potent version of you is when you allow your Heavenly Father to clothe you. I want to pray that over all of us right now. Holy Spirit, help us. Father, clothe us in whatever you want us to wear. I pray for my brothers and sisters in the room who are battling. They know what you've called them to wear. And they're happy to wear some of it, but they don't want to wear all of it. And I thank you that your heart is compassionate. You're close to the weary. You're close to those in pain who suffer. And I thank you that your sovereign will is so supreme that you really do work all things for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purposes. Father, would you increase our faith? Would you help us to see just how trustworthy you are to wear whatever you want us to wear, whatever you've designed for us to wear in this life, so that we can put on glory eternally, eternal life forever. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your body and your blood, Jesus. Thank you that you really are trustworthy. Fill us with your Spirit. We need you. Thank you for your patient love. And thank you for the purposes that you've so wonderfully designed for each one of us to experience and to extend more of your kingdom on the earth, in us, through us, all around us. That's our prayer. You know best. We humble ourselves before you, Father. You know best. Have your way, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen.